certainly couldn't rescind his edict. And he also needed to save face. He had to deal with this mutiny or he might lose control of his kingdom. Do you know another similar story? Do you remember the story about the chopping off of John the Baptist's head? Do you remember when the king, or whatever the leader was there, said, I'll give to, what was it, his daughter-in-law? Daughter? Daughter-in-law? Daughter? I'll give you up to half of my kingdom. Whatever you want. And then his wife told the daughter, ask for John the Baptist's head. Well, felt he couldn't get out of that. Got stuck. So, I'm not convinced that this furious with rage was directed at Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Look, he offers them a second chance. That, I suggest, is out of character for Nebuchadnezzar. I can imagine Neb saying under his breath, hey guys, just go along with this for now. Don't embarrass me in front of your accusers. We'll figure something out down the road so you can keep worshiping your God. But even that kind of compromise would not have been accepted by these three Jews. They had been schooled well by their leader, Daniel, and they would not bow to Nebuchadnezzar's gods or his golden image. And what do you make of Neb's question? What God will be able to rescue you from my hand? Is this an indication of Nebuchadnezzar's short-term memory? Some memory loss here? Is this an indication that he has forgotten that there was indeed a God who was able to rescue Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? I mean, were not these men present and associated with the miraculous explanation and interpretation of Nebuchadnezzar's dream? Well, not only is Neb forgetful, but he's also being a bit arrogant. What God will be able to rescue you? Just who does Nebuchadnezzar think he is? Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were about to remind Nebuchadnezzar who their God was. The king would first hear it, and then he would be able to see it. That the God of the Jews was able to rescue these men from his hand. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. What a demonstration of courage and bravery. What faith demonstrated by these three men. King, you've drawn a line in the sand and you've told us to cross it, and we will not. Just as these men had resolved not to defile themselves with the king's rich food, now they resolved that under no circumstance would they bow down to the image of gold, even if it cost them their lives. Friends, this is boldness. This is courage. This is confidence that God is real and true and faithful. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious. Now notice the direction of the fury now. And you'll notice, listen, buy my argument. Right? Buy my argument. Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude toward them changed. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Okay, you remember the first time that Neb was furious, right? It was in response to the astrologers or Chaldeans making accusation against the 3 friends of Daniel. The text doesn't tell us directly on whom his rage rested, but now, in this paragraph, there's no doubt who the target was of his rage. Now, further support that his original rage was not directed at the 3 young men is when we read in verse 19, and his attitude toward them changed. Now they are the target of his wrath. Almost like he was out of control. No more second chances, guys. It's over for you. Get them into the furnace fast. And if ever a situation looked bleak and hopeless, it was this one. The king had already stoked the furnace, ready to go. All he needed to do was have the bellows pumped faster to raise the temperature. And hot it got. So hot that it killed the soldiers when they threw the 3 men into the furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar had a front row seat. He may have even been up a ways so he could look down and see in well. He was watching this execution take place. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed. And the 4th looks like a son of the gods." Well, maybe there still is hope for Nebuchadnezzar. Maybe he's only half brain dead. Though he had appeared to have forgotten about the Most High God when he set up his 90-foot statue of gold, he remembers him now. Now as he sees these 3 men walking around unharmed in the blazing fire, he's suddenly now aware of Almighty God. Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out! Come here!" So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them, and they saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Nebuchadnezzar and his officials witnessed an incredible miracle. Now, we could possibly classify the courage and boldness of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as a miracle. That was indeed a powerful display of faith and the empowering of God. But now, an even more visible display of the power of Almighty God was enacted in the palace of the king. The hottest fires of Babylon could not touch these men of God. So, how much more does Nebuchadnezzar need to see of the miraculous before he is truly converted? Just how thick are the walls of his heart? See, here is one more instance where God is revealing himself to Nebuchadnezzar and giving him an opportunity to cooperate with him. "Come on, Neb, get on my team. Quit fighting me. Quit going after all these false gods." So, is he closer to turning his life over to God, the one true God? Has he seen enough to put his trust in God? How many people do you know who get the kind of opportunities that Nebuchadnezzar has gotten? He's seen three displays of God's miraculous power. The selection of Daniel and his friends from among the wise men of Babylon. That was a miraculous display. The interpretation of his haunting dream. Another. And now the protection of Almighty God from the king's fiery furnace. After the first two displays of God's power, there's sort of a conversion event for Nebuchadnezzar. But sadly, it's short-lived. And now we wonder, will this third conversion last? Verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut to pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. For no other god can save in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This sounds so wonderful. And for those who would read this story months and years and centuries later, there's much encouragement to be received from this. God is still in control, even in the darkest hours. But I believe we need to consider the possibility that we in some ways are like Nebuchadnezzar at times. How many times do we need to be shown the miraculous before we truly believe? See, the Jews were in captivity because they had been flirting with false gods. The Jews had seen the miraculous, but they were still being enticed by the bright lights of sin and idolatry and Babylon. You recall I proposed the theory that they had almost been attracted to Babylon, so that's why God said, "You want to go to Babylon? It's a great place. I'll discipline you there. Go." But God's men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, by their boldness and faith, encourage us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our strength, and to love their neighbor as themselves. Do you realize that the religion of the Jews was in the process of being outlawed in Babylon, right there before the image, as the orchestra played? I don't know if we'd put those instruments in the in our orchestra, but some of them. And the peoples of every nation began to bow down to it. Do you realize the impact that the miracle of God had on what was about to take place? Consider this. Had Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego not taken their stand for God, and had God not honored their faith with this miracle in the fiery furnace, the Jews would not have been able to legally practice their worship of God. And what were the pieces of the story that God used to make this happen? First, an edict of the king to worship an image of gold. Second, the jealousy of the Chaldean wise men turning in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But what's the end result? God shows himself strong. Stronger than the powers of evil. Not only did God rescue Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he provided the nation of Israel, while they're still in captivity in Babylon, the opportunity to freely worship their God. That was the net result of this. The edict of the king now is the Jews can worship as they please. See, the end result of these events in the gloom of horrible circumstances was that all the Jews were extended the freedom to worship the one true God. Now, don't miss this. The faithfulness of this small remnant of three Jews brought the freedom to worship to all the Jews in Babylon. And what an appropriate lesson to consider on this Memorial Day weekend. Freedom for the many is often won by a few. And often, those few have to pay the ultimate human price by giving their lives. Pastor Brad Boydston shares this. It's estimated that there have been 70 million Christian martyrs over the past 2,000 years. About 37 million of that 70 million were Christians who died at the hands of the communists in the 20th century. Over half of all Christians who have ever died because of their beliefs did so in the last 100 years. Then there were about 12.5 million who died in the 13th and 14th centuries in China at the hands of the Mongols, Genghis Khan and Tamerlane. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up. On this Memorial Day weekend, when we remember our soldiers who have paid the ultimate price for our freedoms in America, let's not forget the saints who have gone before us. And those who this very day will stand with courage and boldness and say, but even if God does not rescue us, we want you to know that we will not serve your gods. May our faith be strong when we are put to the test.